nothing like a nice fast 3-hour and 28-minute baseball game or whatever it was. It is Blue Jays Talk, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The text line, as Ben mentioned, is 590-590. Let's dispense with the particulars. The Jays lost 7-1. Julian Merriweather wasn't very good. Ross Stripling stunk. The Jays couldn't come up with a big hit. And there. Now let's talk about that. Now let's talk about what we saw, Kevin Barker, in the bottom of the eighth inning. I mean, you know, you were the one yesterday who was calling for blood and demanding that somebody got dusted. I, of course, as a man of peace, right?
Yeah.
Was just suggesting that, you know, never mind the stolen card thing. We just all move on. And, well, it appeared as if that was the case. Charlie and Kevin had a meeting behind a home plate during batting practice. It was all kumbaya. The game proceeded yesterday. Nobody got hit. Nothing untoward. Today, Ryan Barucki hit Kevin Kiermaier with a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right between the numbers in the back.
Yeah.
Kind of the classic way it's done. Now, of course, everybody's and Pete Walker ended up getting ejected. Yeah. Ryan Barucki ended up getting ejected. Yada, yada. Lots of it. And I still think Pete went after Joe West. I don't think it had anything to do with Barucki being ejected. I think it had everything to do with the fact the strike zone that we saw throughout series. I mean, look, I usually defend umpires. Bark, I got to tell you, that was one of the worst. That's one of the worst strike zones I've seen over a 3-game series in a long time.
Yeah, not good.
It wasn't good at all.
No.
But anyhow, so here's the thing. Now, there's two schools of thought here. One, and there are people in social media, even Buster Olney, national baseball artist, that was just dumb. You know, eighth inning, last game, you know, why are you doing it? My argument is, you know, and there are people in social media, on the other hand, who some people think Pete Walker should be the manager now because he got ejected and Charlie Montoyo didn't get ejected.
Yeah.
All right. My whole thought on this is, this is the way it's supposed to work out. Publicly, the manager said, you know, as far as we're concerned, it's settled. The players took care of the situation the way players have taken care of time and again. And I got to tell you this. The fact that Danny Jansen came up in the ninth inning, the catcher, and was not hit
there
by
go.
David Robertson made me think.
Kevin Cash said. Understood.
Exactly. And Kevin Cash was he had to come out and defend his team. Say, come on, they threw it. They threw it, my guy.
Sure, sure.
I think everything happened the way it should be. And you know, Pete Walker, frankly, I think if you got Pete alone, he'd say, I don't have any problem with Barucki being thrown out. I just
Absolutely
wanted to get
not.
After him for the strike zone.
Well, that's his job. He's supposed to take up for his pitcher, and that's exactly what he did. When I said, you got to dust him, I was joking a little.
Oh, Bark, nice
but
job.
I'll say this. You could tell just by what Kiermaier said after, you know, basically I took it and there's nothing you can do about it. That's basically what he said. You know that's going to ruffle some feathers. You know that pitching staff didn't really like that a whole bunch. And you knew when they got a spot to do it the right way. You know, Ryan Barucki took it upon himself. You could tell. And I even said that to you when we were watching. Yep. I said, if you're going to do it right now, it's the time to do it. That was the pitch he did it on. And look, you know, it really doesn't matter what we think. It only matters about what the 26 guys on that team think. And they obviously had an issue with it. They took care of it. Hopefully it's over now. Nobody got hurt. If Ryan Barucki gets suspended, you know, for me, it's the right guy that did it. He's one of the guys that you could probably afford to right now miss for however many games if he does get suspended.
I don't know. There are a couple of candidates for that, Bark, based on what I saw today. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Again, it stuff, you know what? This isn't going to carry over anymore. It's done. Stuff was taken care of. We move on.
Yeah,
and
you
Pete Walker got a chance to dress. I mean, you know.
Undressed Joe West.
Every pitching coach and manager in the history of the game.
Wanted to do that to
they
Joe.
Wanted. They wish. That's a freebie. That's like going, I don't know, that's like going to the fair.
Yeah.
That's a free gift. All the hatred that you've had all series about Joe West and Ron Culpa and Bruce Drachman. I mean, you can get it out of the way. That was perfect.
Yeah.
And so the Jays move on now to play the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, you got your butt kicked. You erased that. You try and forget about it as soon as you can. You took care of what you thought you had to take care of. You represented for your organization.
Represented.
Now you move on to the Twins. You try and take 3 out of 4, and you try and get to the playoffs. That's the goal.
We'll get to the text line in a minute. We saw Julian Merriweather. We saw Ryan Barucki. We saw Nate Pearson. Now, we've talked about this, and we talked about it with Ben as well.
Yeah.
Look, Simber, Trevor Richards, Tim Mazza, Jordan Romano. That's basically your bullpen when it counts.
That's it.
But I think you'd like to have one of those three guys. You'd like to have a comfort level with possibly being able to use one of those three guys. And what did you see today?
Nate Pearson looked to me like he had a little deer in the headlight look. You know, a lot of things were going on around him. You know, some heat on both sides of the field. I continue to say this. Would you hand any three of those guys the ball with a runner on second base on the road when it matters?
Not a chance.
There you go. You answered
not
your own question.
Chance.
So, you hopefully your starting pitcher goes deeper in games. You don't have to use two of the three, one of the three, three of the three when it matters. You can go to the four guys that you have that does matter. Hopefully you don't have to use all four of them in one game, so you can use at least one or two of them in the next game or the game after that.
I'll tell you what.
But for me, it's more about the starting pitcher.
If game 162 against Baltimore means nothing, I know who's pitching for the Blue
there
Jays.
There you go.
Ross Stripling. You know, the guys we saw today, Ross Stripling was going to be the bulk guy. We knew that. I mean, you couldn't get anybody out. I can't put it any other way. Rays batted around. What did you think of Ross Stripling?
What more can you say other than what you just said? It's, you know, it's controlling the strike zone. It's making quality pitches when you have to. It's pitching ahead. It's doing it with multiple pitches. It's life on his pitches. You know, it had some decent velocity. It was 93, 94. 94 we haven't seen a ton of. You know, he hasn't pitched a ton lately, but it looked to me like he was okay when it comes to rest and a little bit of velocity on his fastball. But other than that, it's the location really wasn't there. It was whenever he had to make a pitch, it just didn't look like he could make a pitch. And that sort of, you know, sometimes with Ross Stripling, it's hit or miss. You either get really good or you get really bad. And today it was really bad.
All right, we mentioned 590-590 is a text line. If you want to weigh in on what you just saw, do you feel, are you satisfied now? It can move on. Did you like what you saw from the Blue Jays? Going online, time to buy a Brucky jersey. Please put your name and location as well. Nathan in Calgary says, too bad this is the last time they play the Rays, but wouldn't it be something if they met in the playoffs? Nothing's going to happen if they meet in the playoffs. This is done. Again, this is over.
Kevin Cash didn't hit anybody in the top of the ninth inning. This is over. He gets it. He understands. He knew it was coming. He had to come out and yell and take up for his player. He did that. He got the pitcher thrown out. Pete Walker came out and yelled and screamed. For me, everything was taken care of the way probably it was supposed to be taken care of. Now you move on. You know, probably somebody's going to get suspended. Yeah, it is what it is. You move on. You try and win 3 out of 4 in Minnesota.
Josh in Vancouver. I think you may have hit on something here, Josh. You know, he said, apologies are one thing, respect is another. Today is a response for the lack of respect. Josh, I think I agree with you in that. Again, the guy that was hit today was not only the guy who stole, the guy who picked up the card. He was the guy who basically did an interview with the Jays broadcast crew, said, yeah, I did that. So what?
Yeah.
And he poured fuel on the fire. To me, he's the guy that the only, if you're looking for a quote unquote villain in this, right? The villain is Kevin Kiermaier, and he was hit by a pitch.
Yep.
So to me, this is all done. It's taken care of. It's performative. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. Can't say any better.
That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. Eddie in Fort Erie, when I saw Barucki hit Kiermaier, it gave me flashbacks of the Rangers Jays rivalry in 15 and 16. See, I don't get that because there was a lot of hate between the Rangers.
It was a second baseman and a power hitter.
Well, I'm going to say this too. There was a crap load of hate or dislike between John Gibbons and Jeff Banaston.
There you go.
The two managers did not like each other. I cannot put it any other way. I know John Gibbons' personal crap list when it came to opposing managers. And Jeff Banaston.
Top of the list.
I know who was at top, but Jeff Banaston was pretty damn close to top. So that's a different situation entirely. There was a lot of dislike, there was a lot of carping between the two teams in that series.
Yeah,
there was
I just don't think the Jays and the Rays, that's what this is. I think they're two good teams. They're fighting to beat each other whenever they play each other. But for whatever reason, the 26 guys with the Jays just didn't like it and did something about it. I think that's, for me, the end of it. That was the start of it, and that was the end of it.
What do you make of the Jays offense through this series, Kevin? You know, let's looking at what we saw today. You know, Bo Bichette strikes out. I mean, there are a couple of big outs. First of all, you brought up an interesting point. Teoscar Hernandez faced four different pitchers today.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
That's hard to do.
It is. It's very hard to do. Just timing-wise, when you're trying to see the same guy over and over and over again and, you know, get release point and what the life on the heater looks like and what he wants to throw with two strikes and how hard he throws. Now, obviously, Teoscar's faced all the guys that he faced today, but it's just that trying to get in rhythm and timing that guy up and trying to make solid contact and using the entire field. It's not the easiest thing to do when you're facing that many guys, but there's no excuses. Today, the Rays outpitched the Blue Jays hitters, plain and simple. They may be on to something a little bit with the hard stuff away and feeding a secondary pitch off of that. That may be the way you're starting to try and see teams from here on out. Now, the Rays are different than other teams because they can throw a bazillion guys at you that throw a bazillion miles an hour with devastating secondary pitches. Now, not many teams can do that. But if you're trying to attack and trying to game plan against the Blue Jays lineup, and if you're a right-handed pitcher, you would think, make them go the other way. That's something I think they can take away from the way the Rays pitched the Jays.
Yeah, there were a couple of big at-bats in this game. The first inning, the Jays had two on, one out. Bo Bichette battles Luis Patino, eight pitches, strikes out. I thought that was a big at-bat. And then, of course, what we saw subsequently, Teoscar Hernandez hit a sacrifice fly. But again, that's not enough against this team. And by that point, the game was essentially done anyhow.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of big at-bats through this game where I thought the Rays really went to work on the Jays hitters in this series, as the Rays often do.
Yeah, well, they didn't score first and third. That's a bad thing. Yeah, Bo up, and he may expand it a little bit. Umpire's giving a little bit off the plate. We already talked about the umpire. Mm-hmm. You have to expand it, but again, it's 97-98. It's not 88-89. It's 97-98. It's not the easiest thing. Keep the front side in and just try and be nice and easy and direct to the baseball. It's not the easiest thing to do. So you give a lot of credit to the opposing pitcher, but you sort of felt like if they didn't score first and third with the guys that they were having coming up, and then the Rays came back and you know, got the foot down and got it singing with the three-run homer, after that it was sort of over. But just because you knew Kevin Cash was going to throw, six different arms at the Blue Jays, and that's not the easiest thing to have quality at-bats with that many arms you're facing.
Again, 590-590 is a text line. Tom, do we need to take a break here? We're okay? All right, we're okay. I just wanted to make sure. I'm not used to, this is like coming into a game with men on base.
It is. How's it feel?
Yeah, you know? Well, I'm in the stretch. You know, I'd rather be in the windup.
Yeah, got to repeat delivery now.
Someone wants to know who's number one on the top of Gibby's naughty list. Not telling you. I think most people, a couple folks have guessed. They're pretty accurate. But no, Banny was up.
It's all right.
Banny was
not
up
to like somebody
there.
Else.
Again, 590-590 is the text line. John in Newmarket wants to put aside the card gate thing and says, I think the Jays needed the split with the Rays over six games, and they achieved that over the last six
Rays
games.
Rays are a good team.
Rays are a good team.
They're a good,
Rays, by the way.
They're a good team.
I think all of us here, can I speak for all of us here when I congratulate the Rays on clinching a postseason spot today?
You can absolutely not do that.
No?
You don't speak for me, ever.
I just
especially
thought,
when it comes to the Rays.
I thought in the spirit of sportsmanship, you'd want to congratulate
absolutely
the Rays.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Come on. Just a little bit?
Not a chance.
The Jays move on to play the Minnesota Twins in a four-game series starting tomorrow. All indications are, Kevin, that we will see George Springer in the field. It's a grass field, obviously, at Target Field. The only caveat I would put out there is weather. If it rains, I would imagine that you won't see George Springer in the field if it rains. I mean,
sure.
you would presume. But we also noticed today, the second last at bat. Now, I didn't notice this earlier in the game. George Springer was not wearing his brace in the second last.
Well,
at bat.
The first thing that popped out to you was, you know, he got his mojo back a little bit with the half pant. He's a half pant guy. He doesn't like the long pant. He gets picked on. He gets made fun of from his teammates, how silly he looks. That's a big deal. You know, you look good, you play good, and it's just maybe a little thing. It's you know, working him back into center field, him wearing his half pant. I sound silly, but maybe, you know, that'll help him a little bit, get his timing back and find a little mojo when he's walking to the plate. He just looks to me like he's fighting something. What that something is, we really don't know what that is because we're not between his ears, but
I think
it just looks like he's got a little loop in his swing. Maybe. He's got a number of at-bats here in a row. It may be who he's facing. Maybe that fastball away, that slider away. That's not the easiest thing to stay on that and go the other way. You know, he did have some really good swings on some pitches that he's supposed to hit hard. That's a plus. But for me, I think once he starts playing a little bit more center field and gets a little bit more rhythm of the game, not thinking so much about what his bad plate appearance was and go out and maybe have a diving play and look at me, I can do this side of the ball too. Maybe that'll help. They need him.
A couple of people are asking whether or not they think that Ryan Borucki will be suspended.
Yeah, he will be suspended. I don't know how long.
I don't know how long.
Two games, three games?
Three games.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe. No.
I said the right guy did it.
Here we go. Andrew and Beaton. When are we getting Gibby back? We aren't a rebuilding team anymore. Need a manager that will stick up for his players again.
Gibby ain't coming back.
Gibby ain't coming back.
No.
And I presume you're talking about 2014, 2015 Gibby, because I remember a lot of you during Gibby 1.0 where you couldn't wait to run his ass out of town because he was sitting back and he wasn't fiery and he looked like, you know, he spoke like
he didn't have
Uncle
a good
Cletus.
Team. You
and
can
he
say
didn't,
it.
Yeah,
his
he
team wasn't
was
any
a good,
good
team. It is remarkable how John Gibbons went from a guy nobody could get rid of soon enough to a guy who has
had an MVP at third base,
exactly.
Had a couple of home run hitters. And
yeah, it's amazing.
Pitching
how that
got
happens.
A lot better and they had a closer. Man, that'll make any manager look good.
Anyhow, Gibby ain't coming back.
Nope.
Gibby ain't coming back. 590-590, the text line. Ben Wagner is in studio. Ben will join us for a few seconds. I know you had a long day calling 3 hours and 28 minutes of quality baseball.
More talking.
We'll let you go quickly.
Ben
Wagner, are you with us? This is kind of the way it's supposed to be taken care of, wasn't it? Do you think, or do you?
Yeah. I thought when the game got lopsided, eventually there would be a Kevin Kiermaier at bat, or when the game was decided, it didn't matter for the Rays winning, the Blue Jays winning or not. I thought when the game looked like it was decided, there would be a message sent. Yeah. It's the last day of the regular season series against these two teams. One has aspirations of meeting that other team in the next round, which would be the DS. And I have said this often, and I have said it all season long, that the Toronto Blue Jays feel that there is one team that they need to make their mark against if they want to compete for the American League Eastern Division. They feel confident when they play the Red Sox. They feel confident when they play the New York Yankees. They know that the best team in the AL East, from top to bottom, the Tampa Bay Rays. And if they want to clear that hurdle and be the beast of the East, they've got to get past the Tampa Bay Rays.
Let me ask you this. From what we've seen in the season series so far, or the end of the season series, and what was the final total? Was it 8-11? The Jays 8-11 against Tampa?
11-8, yeah.
11-8.
The Rays took 11 of the 19.
Okay. Yeah. So, for what it's worth, listen, I still think, I think the Jays are going to win the wild card, and I think they're going to face the Rays. Are they good enough to beat the Rays in a series? Let's jump ahead to that. Are they good enough to beat the Rays in a series?
I don't know that over the long haul they can take any team, honestly, in a series, a 5-7 game series. I think that the bullpen has some question marks. The defense at times is a little laxed. And also, the Blue Jays still continuously make mistakes on the bases. You find your upper echelon teams playing in sync in complete games. And the Blue Jays, you know, at times, and unfortunately at bad times, you know, kind of rear their head in that regard.
Yeah,
I think that's brutal honesty, right there.
George Springer has to be really good. That's it for me. If he's not really good, if he's this George Springer, I'm not going to say they don't have any shot of winning a series, but it's going to be real tough. Like, more than real tough, because he's just sort of sets the tone when he's hitting and he's coming up, and it puts so much pressure on the opposing manager and the pitcher. What are you going to do? And then you got all those guys behind him. When he's doing this, George Springer, he just makes it a lot harder on everybody else.
Yeah. We should mention that when the Jays do face the Rays, if they do face them in the playoffs, Nelson Cruz will be playing every day. And we did not see him in the series, two of these games.
He was sick. Yeah, he played the first night out of the lineup the last 2 days.
And Randy Arozarena played today, did not play yesterday. Ben, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Kevin, and this is going to be kind of a running thing for a while here, but we're on the same page. I think that one of Pearson, Borucki, and Merriweather will probably need to be used at some point in a situation of some significance the rest of the season. Like, I don't think we're all on the same page when it comes to who the four relievers are in this team, but you know the way baseball is, and you could conceivably find yourself in a position where you need one of those guys. Have you seen anything from Julian Merriweather or Nate Pearson? Leave aside Ryan Borucki for now, but either of those two guys that suggest to you you'd want them in a position of some leverage?
No, it's a really tough three individuals to select from. I think the leader in those three, but taking the question Merriweather over Nate Pearson, Pearson is the slight clubhouse leader in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, today, again, Merriweather is very scattered. I was a little surprised that he honestly got the nod to open the ball game.
Yeah, I was too.
I was really surprised. And I thought, okay, maybe this is a relaxed situation for him. He knows the routine to get ready to get in here. He's opened before. He did it three times last year. This would be a very familiar rhythm and routine for him to get to an inning or two. Max would be two. But I thought if he goes out and has a really crisp inning, maybe this could kind of catapult him into a conversation where he could lobby for more leverage, more situations coming up for the rest of the year. And now it's down to 11 games, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't see it. Didn't see the command that you need. And Ryan Borucki really hasn't shown it. And I know he was kind of thrown into the fire there. But, you know, the fastball command was all over the place today for Ryan Borucki.
Velocity, too.
And the velocity, right, yeah. We saw more velocity today with that 96 and 97, which was encouraging, and that's something that the coaches told me had come back with his fundamentals and how he was retooled, which was encouraging. And all right, like you think that if he is able to harness that with the velocity, but with the velocity, his fastball was just scattered all over the place. So it's a really tough situation that the Blue Jays have to make a decision on three guys. But if you were to choose one of the three guys, I think Nate Pearson still kind of gets a little bit of a nod over the other two.
And I think, let's say how this thing rolls out. But I think eventually, I mean, Ross Stripling becomes your long guy, does he not? Even though what we saw today?
Maybe. I think Thomas Hatch is going to get an opportunity to throw in Minneapolis. I think the Blue Jays really want to see something from him. I had a conversation with Ross Atkins on the field, and it sounds like the Blue Jays in the last couple of outings, what they've seen from Trent Thornton has been encouraging as well. I cringe at that because Trent Thornton, when he's on a major league mound, looks completely different than any other scouting report that we've been given. So I think if there's a long guy to win a job, Thomas Hatch has the present on his doorstep right now.
Yeah, for me, I every time I hear you guys talk, all I see is non-competitive pitches, a lot of them, and movement.
From who?
There isn't a name of guy. The four guys you guys just mentioned, five guys, that's what it is. Ross Stripling, non-competitive pitches. Julian Merriweather, non-competitive pitches today. Non-competitive pitch means right out of the hand, it's a ball.
Yeah, you kept track.
You can't get big league hitters out like that.
We were talking about the first inning. It had six pitches in a row that were basically non-competitive between the walk to Choi and then Diaz.
It's tough.
Charlie Montoyo addressed the media after the game as per usual. And Mr. Young, do we have the clips ready? This is Charlie Montoyo's post-game commentary today.
Hey, Charlie, in the eighth inning there with Borucki and Kiermaier, what was your impression of what happened and how it was handled?
Well, what I know, because I know the game, the moment that happened, I knew he was going to get thrown out. And I knew that was going to happen. I understood also how the Rays got upset about it. And what tells you about everything was Pete's reaction, because we didn't want to use another pitcher. You know, that's why Pete was so upset, because, you know, he missed, he hit him. But now I understand what it looks like. That's why I don't get excited, you know, because I understand what the other team thinks about, what the umpires are thinking about, because that team was out for 2 days. So that's what happened.
And then we heard from Ryan recently that he was just told that he had to go right away by the umpiring crew. What did they tell you in terms of that?
No, they didn't have to tell me anything. I know the game. I understand. The moment that Kiermaier gets hit, because what happened, whatever, 2 days ago or the day before, I knew that was going to happen. So, but I just, that's why Pete got upset, because we didn't want to use Pearson, you know, because if you call that pitch, if you make that call, that's what's going to happen.
Certainly the Rays, as you mentioned, they reacted to it as if they thought it was intentional. You know, yesterday you said this was water under the bridge. Are you still convinced it's water under the bridge?
And it was, yeah. But I know the moment that, just like when Manoa got thrown out, whatever that was, after two home runs, somebody gets hit, the umpires are going to throw you out, you know, even though same thing happens today. And yeah, I understood we're going to get thrown out, but Pete's reaction tells you everything about it.
All right. And just in terms of, you know, how you felt, obviously this was one of the rare times you haven't played a close game against the Rays this season. Just how would you assess how this rivalry between the two of you has played out this season, where it stands now, and how you guys are stacking up?
Yeah, no, we played good games, like you just said, except today, of course. You know, our first couple of guys struggle, and we got in a hole pretty quick. But yeah, every game that we play them and the playoffs, they all have been good games.
Hey, Charlie, thanks for the time. Did you get a specific justification for why Pete was thrown out, or was there a conversation there?
No, Pete got thrown out because he was upset because Borecki got thrown out. And that's my point. Like, he was really upset because we know we didn't call that. You know what I'm saying? So the moment he gets hit, I do understand that. So I knew that's what happened, because we didn't want to use Pearson for sure.
And today seemed like the first time in a long time where you've kind of had to use the bullpen to save the bullpen or lean on some guys. When you look back at the last stretch of games, how kind of key has it been to get the starting pitching or the bulk usually and not have to have many games like this?
Yeah. I mean, there were some good things today. You know, of course, Pearson came there at the end and did a good job. Castro looked really good. Merriweather, the more he pitches, the better he's looking. So that's only good news for us, you know. So, yeah, just a couple of guys struggle. Of course, we got in a hole against good pitching, and that, you know, was tough to come back.
And I'll sneak one more in here. You got 10 games left. This is, like, basically the stretch run for sure now. Do you have, like, a message to your team at all? Do you say anything different?
This is the first series we lost. We won 7 in a row. You know, we're playing good baseball. Today was, you know, our pitching struggled a little bit. We got behind, but we are playing good baseball. They know what's going on.
All right, that was Charlie Montoyo, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And, yeah, that is a reminder. It's really not dire. They had won 7 series in a row before this one. Ben, before you let you run, just very quickly, the Jays go on to Minnesota, 1-4. We mentioned you may see George Springer out there. What does this team have to do in the final 10 games?
6 wins.
Yeah.
6 wins. I think 2 of the 6 have to come against the New York Yankees, too.
Bingo.
I mean, bottom line.
Great starting pitching.
Yeah.
Period.
Mr. Wagner, we're going to let you scoot. Your driver awaits.
Nice.
The Siddle Shuttle.
The Siddle Shuttle.
Yeah. Be afraid to spend some of that money.
Stop it.
Get you a ride.
You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Link. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. We'll be back with the rest of Blue Jays talk in a few minutes.
Little known fact, if you scream at the umpires through your radio, they can totally hear you.
Oh, you call that a strike?
This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Reminder that Jays Talk, as always, is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Kevin Barker, Jeff Blair, we're here with you until 7:30 with a post-game edition of Blue Jay Central. Calling Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow from 5 to 7 ahead of game 1 of that series against the Minnesota Twins. The Yankees are getting set to take on the Texas. It was raining in New York, but we see Corey Kluber warming up, so it looks like the Yankees and Rangers will at least get started. The Mets and Red Sox are playing. Kevin, the Jays losing today. We've We'll go to the text line, 590-590. We just heard Charlie Montoyo before the break. You're just looking at me. The stuff about, well, Charlie said that they didn't order the
what do you want him to say? He's not going to come out and say that he did.
Yeah. Again, that's
you could just tell the way when Berucki was walking off the field how the high fives and the slapping of the backside. There was rumblings that when you got an opportunity to do it and get it over with and let's move on.
Work was performed.
Doesn't matter if we like it. Doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what the guys on that team think, and they thought they had to do it, and they did it.
Charlie seemed to be impressed with Julian Merriweather. Now, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention in the first inning. But I think, I think Ben's right. I'll ask you. Okay, you got four games against the Twins. You got a leverage situation coming up. Let's say the second game. Let's just play along here. Let's say you've gotten through the first game. You've used Romano. You've used Meza. You've used your guys. Leverage situation comes up in the second game. Are you going to go to Merriweather?
Where are they at in the lineup? Lefty, righty?
Middle, bottom.
Yeah, maybe. You know, he did look like he had a little extra gear. The movement on the fastball is a little worse. It looks really straight. The curveball looked a little bit better today. The changeup, I'm not really sure about that. I think you're begging. When you go to those guys right now, it's a lot to ask.
Mike in Victoria wants to know, would not a struggling Ryu give us a better chance than we saw today? Maybe not so hasty to sideline him with no plan B. Again, keep in mind, he was and is on the IL. It's not as if he missed his start because of no apparent reason. He was in the IL with the next strain.
If he felt good and was pitching good, he'd be pitching.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I will say this. Ross Atkins, the general manager, has said that they expect him to just miss one start. So my guess is let's see how the next couple of games play out. I think best case scenario for the Jays is somehow, and I don't know if this is going to happen, but the best case scenario for the Jays is that they have a playoff spot, a wild card spot locked up going into that final weekend against Baltimore. Then maybe you give Ryu to see how he looks.
His next turn comes around the first game against the Yankees.
Not
at
a
home.
Chance in hell he's playing.
Well, then where's he pitching?
Well, no, I'm saying if Saturday, Sunday against Baltimore, and if your playoff position is decided, then you run him out there and see what you got.
A lot of it
may
be determined, too, on how the Twins series goes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take three out of four, you got a little lenience
if
there.
If you get a freebie, but I don't know if I want him starting home against the Yankees.
It's crazy. It's a big decision because now you're looking at Stripling and an opener and all those things.
Ugh. That's bottom line is you want – You know you're going to have Berríos for 163 and Ray for the wild card. That's everything. However you piece it together, it's important you keep that in place. And if it's me, you have to look at Ross Stripling's body of work this year. One of the problems I have is we have a tendency to look at what a guy did recently and say, well, he's just crap. Ross Stripling's been decent for this team this year. He's pitched some important games for this team this year. Now, I'm not saying I'd start him ahead of Steven Matz or Alec Manoah, but I'm saying the Hyunjin Ryu I've seen in the past couple of starts, I don't know if he's any better than Ross Stripling.
So you're saying they don't have a guy for that start. Ross Stripling was good middle of the season, but right now the way he looks, the way he commands his stuff, the way his stuff's coming out of his hand, his secondary pitches – fastball and fastball counts. You really want that against the Yankees?
If he's healthy, I think the easier option is to go with Ryu because then there's less second guessing, right? Because you got Ryu. Ryu's in your team. If he's healthy,
then
you let him go. But again, when it comes to today, keep in mind that Hyunjin Ryu was in the IL. So there was a reason for him not being available. We should also mention that Breivik Valera went on the COVID IL today. He has been vaccinated. He tested negative for COVID-19. It's part of the contact tracing protocol in place by Major League Baseball. We're led to believe from the Jays PR department that a family member of his tested positive. And the Jays are in Florida, and we know Ben Wagner did on the broadcast today, I thought, did a, you know, explained that the Jays took extra precautions this series because they know they're in Florida. That is the home base for a lot of their players. And when you're in Florida, you have a lot of friends and a lot of family that you touch base with. Mm-hmm. So
can't afford to lose really good players down the stretch.
No.
No.
And the thing with the COVID IL, it's not necessarily a 10-day IL. Because Breivik Valera has been vaccinated, he will be tested. And there is a protocol. It might be a matter of a day or two before he is allowed back onto the roster as long as he continues to test negative. So that, in the meantime, Kevin Smith joined the team today. I've got to think that Thomas Hatch might be activated for that Minnesota series. Maybe you send Taylor Sosado down. I think you have to keep Kevin Smith up here as long as Breivik Valera isn't on the roster, or at least until Santiago Espinal's ready, because you do need another infielder.
Sure.
And
defensively, he's good.
Yeah.
Offensively is the uppercut and catching up to velocity, those kind of things.
590-590 is the text line. Josh in the beach. I'm happy they plunked him. I wish it was Pearson throwing. If they're going to be taken seriously in the playoffs against the Rays, this had to be done. I'm actually glad it wasn't Pearson throwing, because if, as much as we've said that those three pitchers, Pearson, Brucky, and Merriweather, Pearson's not the guy I want to be out for 3 or 4 days.
And I'm not sure Pearson could do that. Pearson can't aim at a spot on a player and dot the numbers on a guy's back. Have you seen anything that will tell you he can do that?
I
don't want to hit somebody in the head.
Yeah, this sounds silly, but there is an art to this. There is a way you do it, and credit Ryan Barucki. If you were to want to tell a young pitcher how to handle that situation, he handled it properly. Wasn't as hard as fastball he's throwing. It was between the numbers. It's not going to hurt Kevin Kiermaier.
No.
Kevin Kiermaier chirped at him. Ryan Barucki walked towards him. He did everything. He did everything he's supposed to do. Didn't back down.
Nope.
Walked towards him. Umpire threw him out. Left the game.
That's it.
That may be the most impressive Ryan Barucki's been this year, to be honest.
Yeah, again, he gets back to that. There's different opinions. You've read it on social media. We've heard people talking about it. It doesn't really matter what we think. It only matters what the people on that team think, and they thought they had to do it because of the words that came out of that certain player's mouth. They thought they had to take care of it. They took care of it. It's over now. You move on.
Yeah.
You go and you kick some Twins' butt.
Kevin, you've been in a clubhouse. That people are saying, well, okay, Charlie's saying he didn't order it.
Well, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
He's not going to come out and say, yeah, I told him to do it.
And I'll tell you.
He's not going to say that.
And you know what? I think there's enough. I think most players in that clubhouse understood what was going to be done. I don't think there's a Blue Jay player that was surprised.
All you have to do is watch when the camera panned over when Ryan Barucki was coming off the field, how players met him halfway off and was slapping him high five and basically saying that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Way to go.
And as we mentioned, there was no retribution from the Rays in the top of the ninth. This is done. And I think this is probably the last time we'll have to talk about it. We mentioned George Springer. We expect to see him play in the field in Minnesota again, depending on weather.
I think he has to play.
I think he has to get out there too.
Yeah. I don't think they have a choice.
No.
This George Springer ain't going to work. Just not. You can tell he doesn't like DHing. You can see that. You can see it in his face. You can see when he gets out, he's like, oh, now I got to go over there and sit, and it's going to fester for the next 45 minutes. It's hard. It's been hard. You can tell. It's been hard on him.
Before we break, I do want to – I mean, there wasn't a lot that went on well for the Jays in the 7-1 loss. But, Kevin, I want to talk about the double Vladdy hit, because we were watching that, and
– unbelievable.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, you said that, and then I needed, because I haven't played the game, I need to see the replay, how unbelievable that was.
Crazy.
Just explain what you saw, because when you were talking to me as I saw the replay, and I thought, Jesus, that was remarkable.
Well, you know, obviously they were trying to get him out of way. They were trying to get him out away with really hard stuff, and they wanted to get him to chase on a secondary pitch. They missed by, I don't know, a foot maybe, a little in. That was on the black, maybe 97. And the way he's, you could tell his eyes, his shoulder, his lower half was directed to fight off the ball away. Try and get the barrel out a little bit to try and hit that ball to right center. But then he gets the ball in, his eyes recognize that. And him to be able to adjust the barrel to make his eyes take the barrel to where that ball is in and he can get that ball down the left field line and keep it fair, which is just, look, we talk all the time about how special he is and about the things he can do offensively and working counts. And, you know, is anything that he does surprising? Look, can it get any better? I'm not real sure, but to just say the way he hits velocity and the way he can adjust to certain locations at the plate when he, you could tell, was looking in one location, got it somewhere else, and can still get to head out and keep it fair, get special.
Well, we heard from Charlie Montoyo. What about Kevin Kiermaier? I wonder what he had to say about this incident. Oh, he had something to say about it, all right. You're going to want to hear it, and we'll play it for you. When we come back, Jay's Talk is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers.
Pacing stressfully in front of your radio is a totally normal way to listen. You stress because you care. Toronto Blue Jays baseball's on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, well, Kevin Kiermaier did have words to say after the game, not surprisingly. Kevin, I'm going to... read it. It was intentional. He's talking about being hit by Ryan Barucki. It was intentional. I thought it was a weak move. And I hope we play those guys in the playoffs. I really do. Brandon Lau called it Bush League and extremely uncalled for. So there you go. That is Ryan Barucki throwing, hitting Kevin Kiermaier in the back. We said it was done.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do in the playoffs? That sounds to me like they can't wait to beat them. are you going to hit guys in the playoffs and get suspended? That's probably not going to happen. What do you want these guys to say? He got hit in the back with 93. It's not fun getting hit in the back.
It's
cool. I get it. I understand. No problem.
Everybody, this is performative, and everybody has played their roles perfectly.
Yeah.
Everybody's played their roles perfectly. Yeah. I
hope they play him too.
I can't put it any other way.
I hope they play him too.
Well, I do too.
I can't wait for him to play him.
Yeah, I cannot play it any they can't say it any other way. Again, the Rays have clinched a playoff berth for the third year in a row. They got to do it in front of their fans this time, all 10,000 of them.
Better than 4,000.
It's better than 4,000 again. Just give you a little bit of a summary here. The Rays beat the Jays 7-1. For the Rays, Randy Arozarena 3-for-5. Again, we talked about this. For the life of me, I understand the Rays play lefty-righty, but for the life of me, I don't understand why Randy Arozarena isn't in the lineup every day for them. But there you are. Luis Patino, 3 innings, 1 hit, 1 strikeout. For the Blue Jays, Julian Merriweather got the start, 1 inning, 1 hit, 1 walk. Ross Stripling took the loss. He's 5-7, 5 hits, 5 earned runs over 1 1/3 innings. He was not very good pitching out of the bulk spot. We mentioned Ryan Barucki was ejected from the game. And for the Blue Jays offensively, not a whole hell of a lot going on. Vladdy was 2-for-3 with an at-bat that was probably the individual highlight, Kevin Barker, of this particular, the individual offensive highlight.
Yeah, he eats fastballs for breakfast.
This particular game.
End of story. His slugging percentage against fastballs is over 700. The things he does to baseballs it's silly. You're not supposed to be able to do that. You're just really not. Especially against right-handed pitchers who throw a bazillion miles an hour, who have thrown you a certain way all day, and then you can adjust and hit balls in locations and get the head out the way he does. It's crazy.
He's certainly, you know, considering the issues at times this team has in that ballpark, we saw Vladdy with some really good at-bats this series.
Yeah, he's a great hitter.
He's a great hitter. Even in a series like this, I just can't say enough about what we've seen from him,
from
his approach.
Pitching. which not a lot of superstars do, that they make their living off
the
three,
pitcher.
Four, fives. The 1-2s tend to sometimes give them issues. Not for Vladdy. Just Vladdy, you know, it's almost impossible to get him out the same way over and over and over again. He'll get himself out occasionally against a lefty. He'll chase. He'll try and do too much. You know, runner in scoring position. He knows that other guys are struggling around him. They're struggling against that certain pitcher. He'll expand, occasionally get himself out. But it's rare that you see him go up and jam himself on a ball in off the plate consistently, or hit a ball off the end on a secondary pitch in a hitter's count. It's rare.
And I'm going to say another thing we saw from him in this series as well is you talked yesterday, or I'm sorry, in Baseball Central about the base running we saw yesterday. You could tell Vladdy's feeling really good right now about himself, but also defensively. Like he's made a couple of plays where, and I never thought I'd say this about Vladdy, he's developed the knack, Kevin, of making some difficult plays look routine now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and you played first base, so you'd be better able to speak to this. But you know what I mean? There are plays that are made now that...
Well, he's hitting a ton. That's first and foremost. He's a hitter first. That always helps, gives you a ton of confidence, and you go over there and you're free and easy, not worrying about making mistakes and footwork and all those kind of things. It just comes easy to you. But you know, Louis Rivera used to, early in the season, have to put him in certain positions.
Right.
Move over a little bit because of this hitter. You don't see that anymore. But Vladdy just knows where to go, where to stand, who's up, who's on the mound, what that guy's throwing, where he needs to play in certain counts, all those things. And, you know, he right now, you have to say, yeah, he's a human being. Occasionally he's going to make a mistake. But he's a complete player. If I'd have told you that last year, the way he looked, the way he's moving around, you know, he's 45 pounds heavier, but just by losing that amount of weight, now all of a sudden he's a complete player. You'd have laughed at me. You just said, no way. No way just losing 40 pounds would do that.
No,
It did it.
Look, I admit, I thought Vladdy was going to be a terrific hitter who would probably have to DH most of his career. Yep. I really did. I didn't think he could play third base. I just didn't. But, you know, I keep thinking back to an interview we had with Bobby Meacham in Baseball Central. This is a couple of years ago when he was managing Vladdy at AAA. And he talked about, I'm sorry, it was John Schneider. We were talking to John Schneider about this. And he was talking about Vladdy's baseball IQ and said, you know, it got to the point in that team where he didn't have to position Vladdy. Vladdy would take charge of where the positioning would go. Or you know, he would take charge of other players' positioning as well. The more I watch him, I mean, I think to be that much of a finished product at that age is remarkable. He's almost as... All told, he is a better player than his dad was at this stage of his career when I saw his dad.
Yeah, well,
he's a better hitter and a better player.
Defensively, he's not a finished product yet. You saw today he got in a little hurry trying to turn a double play. He'll tend to do that because of his age and you know where his team's at and what they're going through in a certain game. But most of the time, the arm that he has, he trusts that. It's very accurate. It's very strong. He can make that over-the-head catch, turn around, and throw a BB to the third base bag. And it's on target. Like, he just does a lot of things that you're okay with Vladdy doing it for the next 10 years as a Blue Jay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, without question. So that is it for us. 7-1, the Blue Jays lost to the Tampa Bay Rays today. The Rays have taken the series. The Rays have clinched a playoff spot. The Jays go on to Minnesota for the first of four against the Minnesota Twins. We will have the game for you tomorrow night, as always, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Kevin Barker and myself will be back tomorrow with Baseball Central from 5 to 7 Eastern. For all of us here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Jay's Talk, brought to you by our Ontario Honda dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.